Come on. That's the kind of appreciation. It's 41.5 degrees outside. All of you know that I'm extremely uncomfortable. I'm just going to let you know already. Very good. If halfway through I ask for a stool to sit down, it's a necessity. How are you guys doing? Have you guys been enjoying the governance series that have been running on Sunday afternoons? Has everyone been doing their homework? Who hasn't done their homework? Oh, wow, there's only one truthful person here. Marissa, there is a special place in heaven for you with the 24 elders. So there you go. Well done. Well done. God's like, let's put them through this test, the big test, which is one of the FOD. It really is like an intensive. So good. I hope you guys are doing well. I'm excited to bring you a relatively short word this afternoon, primarily just because of the conditions, for me personally. But I want to dig into something quite special. Talking today on building on the Word of God, or let's just say it like this, believing God on His Word. How many of you know it's good to believe God on His Word? How many of you have tried to do that and failed in the past? Yeah, okay, good. All right, so we're all on the same page. Awesome. So we're going to start. I'm going to just go through the scriptures first of all. So Nicola, can you put up Matthew first for me? That would be awesome. Thank you so much. Nicola is a gun on the... I'm looking for my notes. I found $5. Anyone need $5? I do have... Anyway, they are some... Sorry? Who needs $5? There, hold on. There's a word of the Lord right there. Okay. Let's read this together. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on what? On the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat that house. How many people have ever had the house beaten? Beat that house and it did not fall. How many of you have ever had your house beaten and it did fall? No. Gosh, I know that it's hot. I know that you guys, but you guys are all here, so I appreciate you. Okay. And it says this, beat that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Okay, come on. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Everyone say foolish man. Who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. The Lord says, I'm really kidding. What's so interesting about this scripture is Jesus is talking about the application of his word. And I don't want to get... This topic is so massive and so huge, and I don't want to give you such a mammoth thing that you leave and you're like, oh my goodness, there's so much to that. I want to give you bite-sized revelation or bite-sized pieces of what it looks like to taking the Lord at his word and administrating that reality into your life. Because we're talking about building your life on the rock of the word. And yes, that's the Bible, which is the Logos, but that's also the Rhema, which is both the quickened Logos and the Rhema itself. And how many of you know if we're going to go anywhere with God, we need to build on what he's saying? This is really, really important. Awesome. Okay, so if we can start, that was kind of the start, but if we can start with the Genesis 12 scripture, Nicola, that would be awesome. I'm going to turn around. Let's read this together. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country. Hold on, just pause it right there for a second. Who said it? The Lord. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Keep going. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all of the families of the will be blessed. This is really cool, really, really easy, really fun. And next one. Okay. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. Wow, so God said something. Abraham's like, okay, not a small thing, big thing. And had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So, so cool. Can we put up Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 to 10? Don't worry, I'll make it so succinct for you guys that we'll just catch something quite profound today. I really believe that. Okay. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Interesting. The word of the Lord was in Jeremiah's mouth, but what did the word of the Lord do in Jeremiah's mouth? Many things. It displaced kingdoms, it uprooted, it replanted. The word of the Lord did something very, very special. In the mouth of Jeremiah, when he spoke the word itself, through partnership, actually did something very special, where there was an administration of the kingdom of heaven through the mouth of Jeremiah. This is really, really cool. How many people have God has ever spoken something to you? The same way that God gave Jeremiah a word to build and to plant, I believe it's the same way that he gives us something to build and to plant. And when we choose to build on the word that he gives us, we're actually building on the rock. And that's what I really feel like I just want to get across today, is what it is to build on the rock. Very good. Awesome. I'm not going to go into this now, but Genesis chapter 6, Noah is a good guy. He's just hanging out, doing his thing. It says that he was found a righteous man. And with Noah specifically, God gave him a big word. You want to say big word? He said, "I'm going to flood the earth." And Noah said to the Lord, okay, well, he started to build it. He actually said, "Build me an ark of gopher wood, and this is how you shall build it." And Noah took the word, and when he built on the word, he built, everyone say built. Built on the word, he actually became, a redeemer of creation. There was a place of redemption and a place of solution that was come because Noah was obedient to the word of God and was able to build on the word that God gave him. Is that good? You guys understand this. It's really important. Let's put up Hebrews chapter 11, verse, I think I gave you 6 and 7. Okay. Let's all read this together. I really want us to catch this. "But without faith, it is in to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." Okay. How many of you ever read Hebrews 11? Is it a good passage? Now, what does it say in Hebrews 11 of Abraham? It says that Abraham, by faith, when he left by faith, and he went to a city that had foundations, whose architect and builder was God. Everyone say architect and builder was God. He said, when God gives you a word, he is speaking as the master architect and the master builder, and he is talking to you as the little architect and the little builder, and saying, will you partner with this word and build something special with me? This is really, really important. Let's go to John chapter 1 verse, I can't remember what I gave you, 1 to 3, I think. Okay. In the beginning was, let's read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, and the Word was, and in the beginning he was with, sorry, he was in the beginning with God. Okay. All things were made or created through him, and without him nothing was made or created. Who is he? He's the Word. Without the Word, nothing was created. So God uses the Word as a vehicle for the manifestation of his power. His ability to build comes through his Word because he is a creative God. So when he speaks to you, he has every intentionality to fulfill what he's spoken. It says that my Word will not come back void, but will accomplish everything that I sent it to do. But as he speaks, one of the things that he wants us to do is partner and say, okay, I hear what you're saying, God. I want to build. We talk about a lot of the time, we're going to build on the web, we're going to build on the rock. And when God speaks, we go, oh, God's spoken this. But actually, each time God speaks, there is an invitation for us to partner with what he's spoken in order that we can build on the rock. How many of you believe that the Word of God is real?
Yes.
I spoke to one of our staff earlier today. My dad was a non-believer. Boo. Okay. It's true. And he was a historian and a very, very clever man. And one year, he didn't ring me. I rang him near my birthday, as I do. If I've ever rung you near my birthday, there's a reason for it. And he said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, I would like a well-sourced New King James Bible. Or no, I didn't say that. That's not right. A King James Bible, an originally sourced, because I thought New King James would be too much off his grid. And he said, I'll do it. So he found me a Bible. Then I went to Northern Ireland. I was changing my visa for Bible college. And when I was there, he presented me with the Bible. And when he presented me with the Bible, this King James, do you remember this Bible? He presented me with the King James Bible. And you know where it says at the beginning, I'm actually got a King James Bible that's blank here now. Maybe it's a redemption. But you know at the beginning, you've got an what do you call this page? Presentation page, or whatever you call it. In the page, his name was John, he just wrote this. This was an insight into my dad. It just is what it is. He said, don't believe everything written in this book, John. Now, how many of you know that that was, I wish I had kept it in the Bible. I so regret taking that out. I just think it's like, anyway, but not because I don't believe that what's written in the Word of God is right, but it was so him, and I chucked it away, which was silly. But anyway, the whole point is this, that he wrote that, and that was what I was taking from my natural father about the Word that I actually needed to build my life on. You see, my natural father never gave me anything to build my life on. He gave me a few things, super critical. If I'd listened to them, I'd probably would be dead right now, true story. But he didn't recognize the power of the Word of God. And so we have something called the Rhema Word of God. And what I just spoke to you about with Noah and with Abraham, those were Rhema words. Everyone say Rhema word. Which is the quickened Word of God, which is when in the Bible it says God spoke to Jeremiah or God spoke to Abraham or God spoke to Noah. That was a Rhema word. It was a word that was spoken to him specifically, and he was designed, or we are designed, to take hold of that word and do something with that word. But then we now in this era have also the Logos. I'm speaking about all the whole 66 books now. We have the Logos, and I believe that we partner with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit quickens the Logos as a Rhema, as well as giving us Rhema. Does that make sense? Well, many seasons in my life where I needed a word of God, and he reminded me of a scripture that he had given me. Not because that scripture wasn't special for everybody, but that was a word that he decided to breathe on in order that I would be empowered to build and plant in the way that he had called me to. Okay. Can we put up Isaiah 50? Is everyone tracking with me? Isaiah 51 verse 60. Oh, you are so good. Brilliant. Okay, now, excellent. And let's read this together. I have put my, this is to Isaiah, I've put my words in your mouth. I have covered you in the with the shadow of, sorry, I can't read it, of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. This is so cool. Can you just leave that up, Nick, for a sec? So it says this, I've put my words in your mouth to actually administrate and plant something. I've given you my word intentionally, because my word doesn't come back void. I've made a decision to partner with you to plant the heavens. This is so crazy. To plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. I'm choosing. Now, Isaiah was a prophet, wasn't he? So he's saying, I've decided to put my Rhema word in you, which we now read as the primarily as the Logos. We have the Logos word that was written by Isaiah, or whoever his scribe was at the time. We have the Logos of what God gave him to plant the heavens and relay the foundations of the earth. We have that here. Now, when God quickens that to us, and he goes, arise, shine, for your light has come. What happens with that? That logos can become a rhema, and we can take hold of that and say, God, I believe, yes, I believe God. He's saying, don't just believe. Yes, believing is absolutely everything. But allow me to give you an action step to help you plant in the heavenly realms and relay or to administrate a reformation for the things of the earth from heavenly places. You see, every time God speaks to you, it's an invitation to plant and to build. Everyone say plant and build. And this is what God wants us to do. He's saying, don't just read the word and do everything that it says. You know, you do that, absolutely. But if I read the word, do everything it says, does everyone do everything it says in the New Testament? It would be crazy. Why would it be crazy? If your right hand causes you to sin, chop it off. We'd have a whole congregation potentially of people here with no right hands. It doesn't work like that. But there is a quickening of Scripture specifically that God wants to do in this hour, where he wants to reaffirm the necessity. We don't just hear the word of God. We get a prophetic word. Yeah, I take that word. Let me tell you this. We don't just take that word and go, wow, that was a great word. We actually choose to steward and administrate that word unto planting and unto building. How many people have had a lot of prophetic words? I've had a lot. But let me tell you this right now. When we receive multiple words, it's very hard for us to build on the rock with a prophetic word if we just move on to the next word after we've just received the word with joy, relative joy. We receive the word, we receive it, and it's hard for us because then we just move on to the next word. Can you give me a word? What did you do with the last one? Can you give me a word? Which is why one of the reasons I actually stopped, unless God really was, I used to prophesy all the time. And one of the things that God did, he gave me a vision of all these gold coins. I actually released it on a network that I'm no longer operating in. It was called the Elijah List. And God showed me all these gold coins and all of these believers walking on all of these gold coins. And I said, why are you showing me this? And he said, they shouldn't be walking on the gold coins. They should be eating them. And then I had a vision of people taking the gold coins and starting to chew on them. And I said, what are they? He said, it represents the riches of my words that I've given them. You see, there is something that God wants us to do to remind us that our history with God and what he said, if there is stuff in your world that he has spoken that is a legitimate word from him, then there is still a now invitation to steward it, marinate on it, build and plant with it. It's still a seed. It's still a seed waiting to be nurtured, waiting to be worked on and worked through. How many people have a word like that? Welcome to your homework. And so I really want to encourage you. One of the things that I want to encourage you to do this week is go back through those words. And the things that have quickened to you this week, want you to actually engage them and go, actually, God, this hasn't yet come to pass, and I'm making a choice today to steward and administrate this word to see if I can create with you a building and planting reality of that word. Is that good? Yes. Okay, awesome. Okay. Have I got any other scriptures? No, don't joke. It's cool. The word build is the word bana. In the Hebrew, it's the word bana. And it means to basically to build. Really simple, the word bana, not banana, but the word bana. And when God is speaking specifically, he's inviting us into a dimension or a dynamic in his mind, which is a bana reality. Say bana, or bana, or whatever you want to say. Now, the word to plant is the word natar, which means to plant, fasten, to fix, or establish. So what God is saying when he says to Jeremiah, I'm putting my words in your mouth to build and to plant, to bana and to natar, I'm actually putting my words there because my words, can you put up Isaiah 55 verse 11? I know I didn't give it to you, but can you put it up just to reinforce this point? He gave it to Jeremiah. He gave it to Isaiah. He gave it to his people because when he released it specifically, it wasn't just like it's an invitation to do what you're awesome. It wasn't just an invitation. It is an invitation. But what he's doing is he is believing in us. When he speaks, he's actually believing in us. 55 verse 11, thanks. He's believing in us that we will choose to take hold of the very thing that he's speaking to us in order that we would be able to build a new world. You know, we get so self-centered. How many people are self-centered here? Is what it is. There are things in my life that are all about me. There are things about Belinda's life that are all about me. There are things about your lives that are all about me too. And so, but you know, God is looking for the people that are wanting to trade our will for his will. And I want to take this to the next level now. In order for us to trade out of, it's all about me, give me my word, I want to see it established, we actually need to recognize that he gives us his word to bring transformational change to other people's lives. That's why he did it with Isaiah. That's why he did it with Jeremiah. That's why he did it with Jonah. That's why he did, you name a person, that's why he did it with Abraham. Why did he call Abraham out? Abraham was 75. He said, why? Because he said, I will make your generations inherit the earth. He's talking about nations will be transformed by the generations that came from Abraham's loins. It wasn't even about him. Look at the stars, and so will be your inheritance. He was 75. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, people lived longer then, but we have to understand that when God says something, he's seeing generationally, he's seeing legacy, and he's inviting you into a much bigger picture than just you. Not to say that anyone's there. It might be just me. And so it says this. So let's read this together. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing. Now, the word thing there is, guess what it means? Thing. I looked it up, I did some research, and I was like, what is this thing? And the Lord said, exactly, it's a thing. And so it actually means something. How can you preach off a thing and something? I want you to catch this, and I'm not going to, I understand it's warm, it's all good. I want you to just catch this. If nothing more, just catch this. When God sends something out on his word, he's saying, I want it to prosper in the something for which I sent it. He's not wondering about the something. He is not wondering, oh, I wonder how that will prosper. He has an intentional design for each word. I'm looking to prosper the word. If like this Bible is a beautiful King James, Pitminian King, Cambridge, beautiful. We know what it is. In the same way, God knows exactly what the thing is that he wants to prosper that word in. Does that make sense? So it's not just like, oh, go forth and prosper. Okay, God. God has an intentionality. But the only way we can engage with that is by further inquiry. And that brings me back again to your homework, is to pick a word and to engage in a place of further inquiry on the word that God has given you in the past. In the past specifically, in order that you can then revisit, marinate, and ask the Lord, how can I engage that? And let me tell you what will happen when you do that. He will start to put hammers and chisels and all of those good things that you need in your hands, that you would be tooled up and equipped to start to establish that word, to build and to plant with that word. Excuse the building metaphor. And so it says this, to prosper in the thing, which is not just a thing, it's a substance. The word thing really is just a substance for which I sent it. Can we just put up the next one? Sorry, I didn't tell you that. For you shall, and this is the result, you shall go forth with joy, be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You see, we've got this whole thing about the redemption of creation. We've got this whole thing about Romans 8, and we've got this whole thing about the sons of God carrying the word of God to bring transformational change. So then suddenly we've taken it away from who we are, what God's calling us to do, me, 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 my, my. And we're actually coming to this place where God's going, I'm giving you something that's way beyond you. Will you partner with me now and seeing what it looks like? And that is what it is to build your life on the rock, to build your life, or let's say this, build your life on the word of God, and to build and to plant with the rhema word of God. It's exactly what God wants us to do. Now, let's put up, I'm not going to give you so much more scripture, you too much stuff. Let's just go back to the Isaiah 51 scripture. I want to reinforce this. I've put my words in your mouth. You see, this is a prophetic word for the church in this era and this time. And I believe that when we start to steward the words that have come specifically from God into our lives well, This is the end result. Not just the end result with the words he's given us specifically, but this is an addition, because I believe that we, when we steward those things that seem seemingly, potentially with some things, insignificant, God says a little thing and he goes, you know, forgive this person, do this, take something to your neighbor. But it says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And it says that when we steward the things, does everyone go, steward the one talent, steward the things that God has spoken to us, or steward the things that God has given us, we actually start to be trusted with the more. He said to me many years ago, just say exactly what I tell you to say. And it's a struggle. Sometimes it's a struggle. Why? Because when sometimes I'm speaking to someone, I don't want to say exactly what God has told me to say. In fact, when I got appointed into more prophetic ministry, he gave me, you can actually put it up, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3. And so he gave me Ezekiel 3, 3 when I got put into more prophetic ministry, not necessarily even to the church. And he said this, thanks, Nick. I feel like I'm swimming up here. Okay, good. Okay. Now it says this. Yeah, you were right. You were right on there. I just want you to catch this. Ezekiel 3:3? Yeah, you had it before. Perfect. Oh, no. Oh, sorry, Ezekiel. Sorry, Nick. Okay, it says of Ezekiel, it says that he says, take this scroll and let it fill your mouth, let it fill your inward being. So I said, is there a difference between letting it fill your mouth and letting it fill your inward being? He said, absolutely. I said, what is it? He said, becoming the word. I said, what's the difference? He said, one of them you're just chewing. The other one you're letting the word become you. You see, it says, let it fill your inward parts, meaning that the word itself actually brings transformation to Ezekiel in order that he would be transformed even to the core of his soul to be able to administrate the word. So let's have a look at, let's see that in action. So it says this, son of man, fill your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness, which represents the word itself initially. Track down four scriptures. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech, but of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. This is such a crazy calling. And if you're a prophetic, if you're called into a prophetic whatever, this is hectic. This is the new era of the prophetic, or it should have been the now era. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, next one, 3:7. But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. Shaka Rabasa. Who wants that calling? The church won't listen to you because they don't listen to me. I want to be I'm called to be a prophet in this new era. Bless you. We'll pray for you each Sunday when you come in and as you go out and release that now word. Okay. Because they will not listen to me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Keep going. Behold, I have made your face strong as against their faces, and your forehead strong as their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. And so why is it, what is this? He's saying, I've made you a hard head because you're going to knock heads with people of a hard head. And that comes from the word and him receiving the word and allowing that word to become him. You know, sometimes God is going to give you a word, and when we digest it initially, it's great, but then when it needs to become us, it's going to challenge potentially even the core of who we are. But let me tell you this, when you do that, there is something that God wants to bring you into where there will be a level of transformational change through your soul where boldness and strength come into your world in order that you can administrate the thing you need to administrate. You see, we're talking about building your life on the Word of God, but I can't see us building our life on the Word of God with it being devoid of actually needing to impact people. And in this season, sometimes God gives us a word and it's challenging, but God says, I want you to build with this word. You see how I'm taking it out of the me and the now? Because actually, potentially, there are people here that are holding words for the church, holding words for the city, holding word for nations. And we're going, wow, but I've got a word and it's just so strong. Well, if you allow, I believe, the word to become you, then there will be a grace for the administration. But what's so funny is he gets commissioned, Ezekiel gets commissioned, and God says, and they're not even going to listen to you. So he said, go, and they're not even going to hear you. Now, that is a hard commissioning. Many years ago, God spoke to me, and he said, Daryl, I'm going to make you a transition prophet. I said, great, that's awesome. And then I was like, okay, God, what does that even mean? Where is that in the Bible? What does that even mean? And he said, I will bring you people that are in transition, and you'll be able to prophesy of them. I said, great, awesome. Then he gave me this scripture. I'm like, but I don't understand why you're giving me this scripture in context of being a transition prophet. What does that even mean? And he said, because when you prophesy transition or you give someone a word, it's a lot of the time going to be exactly the opposite, or it's going to prophesy or speak of the exact opposite direction or trajectory that they're in right now. So you release a word and they're like, I'm going here. And you go, actually, God says you're going the wrong way. And you need to, this is so crazy. So what happened was I started to prophesy over people, holding the word of the Lord, building my, really allowing God to administrate that, start to build it. And I start to prophesy over these people. And I would release this word, and I would sometimes get them crying. Sometimes they were really angry with me. Sometimes they stopped talking to me. Like, like the relationship you're in, it's not right. Or whatever it was. It doesn't even matter. It was multiple things. And they'd be like, oh, you don't even know. And then time after time after time after time, they would come in and they would say, hey, this has actually happened. I can't believe this has happened. And I was more shocked a lot of the time than many people. And they were upset and they said, what else do you know? This is what's so interesting about that whole dynamic is God spoke to me. This is what I want to kind of land or kind of start landing on, was that God spoke to me and he said to me, I said, wow, God, your word of transition is so powerful. And he said this, were they in transition before you spoke to them? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, or is it the word you carry? My words are in your mouth. Is it your word that you carry, my word in your mouth, which is the word of the transition that brings the transition through? Now, I'm like, yes, Lord, whatever you say. I'm just saying, when God speaks something to you, when he wants you to build something with him, when we take hold of that word and we say, well, I'm going to build with that, his word in your mouth is more powerful than you could possibly imagine and actually will allow you to build with him in a way that's much more profound than you could possibly understand. But we have to, first of all, take these sayings of mine, take these words, take this logos, take this rhema, take this logos that's quickened into the rhema, and we need to say, okay, God, I'm going to allow this word to become me. Now tell me how to build and plant this word with you in order that we can see change come to the earth. You guys understand that? This is a much bigger word than it sounds, and when you go away today, I believe that God will start to do something in you with regards to what I've just said. Because his word has, he has every intentionality to see it fulfilled. He doesn't send it out willy-nilly. Everyone say no willy-nilly. He just doesn't. He has an intentionality to see it fulfilled through your world. But the way that we build it a lot of the time is that we need to not just speak it out. I proclaim right now. The speaking out or the engaging with it is actually the start of an action step to seeing it come to pass. You know, it didn't matter how many times Noah said it. Noah actually had to go and start to build. And let me tell you this right now, God's invitation in 2024 for us is, will you build? And yes, it's like it was spoken this morning, it's going to cost you potentially a lot. The size of the word, yeah, I've got such a big word. Bless you, I don't even want a big word. I'm done with big words. I don't need one. Why? Because a big word is going to cost me more than I can pay right now, in my opinion. And God's like, oh, you've got so much more. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever that looks like for you now in this season, Abraham left his house. Noah chose to make a big commitment to God. I could have gone through the whole Bible. Jeremiah said, oh, hey, I'm so young, don't even, what are you doing? Isaiah, and every time he said that my word is with you, whether it was Isaiah, whether it was Jeremiah, to build and to plant, there was something of life, generational life and legacy every time God spoke. And God was saying, will you partner with me, to the people in the word, will you partner with me in order that I would establish you and your generations? You see, God is saying in this time, when you build your word on the rock and you build build your life on the rock and establish your world, choosing to establish your world, sorry, with the dynamic of building and planting with the Lord, he will take you to places and build things with you that you couldn't possibly imagine. When Abraham was spoken by faith, he left his home and went to a city. It actually says he didn't know where he was going, but went to a city that had foundations. Everyone say foundations. What were the foundations? The Word of God, whose architect and builder was God. Every time God speaks to you, it's like he is directing you to a city that has foundations on his word, and he's inviting you to partner with him as he becomes the master architect and builder of those words, and you become the mini architect and builder of the words over your world. It's an invitation season, and God is saying, who's ready to receive me at my word? My word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, why don't we stand to our feet, grab your communion. Can you put the pads on? I know it's a bit shorter. If I was any hotter up here, I would be reflecting Hades. So let's just grab the communion. Can we put the pads on, please, Simon? Thank you so much. Okay. Don't take communion just yet. We're gonna make a commitment tonight, this afternoon, to build on the Word of God like never before. Every word that God has ever spoken to us, we are going to make a decision to steward that word to the nth degree till there is no stewarding left. Everyone say no stewarding left. I had a word that I would have a son, and I prayed and prayed and prayed and believed and prayed and prayed. And prayed and prayed and believed. And then Belinda had a boy, and his name is Asher. How many of you know that I don't need to contend and believe for that word anymore? No, I'm totally serious. Why? Because it's fulfilled. How many of you can make a commitment this afternoon that any word that has been left unfulfilled in your world, some of you might not see the fullness of the manifestation because it could represent legacy and generation, but how many of you are prepared to take all the stops out and go after the stewardship of the words that God has given you, unlike anything you've ever done before, in order that you would be established building and planting on the Word of God and the words of God for your life? How many people could do that? Okay, let's pray this. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I make a decision today to not think lightly of any of the prophetic words that have ever been given to me, understanding that your intentionality was to fulfill everyone. I choose today, Holy Spirit, to repent for any time that I had a move on mentality instead of stewarding your precious, holy and powerful word. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that this week you would quicken to me those words that are imminently of need. I'm just seeing infrastructure of a new level of administration. And I choose to say yes to that process. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I proclaim that is a priority. In Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. You can take your communion. There is so much in the atmosphere right now. So much here. The atmosphere is pregnant with invitation. Wow. I'm feeling it for myself too. Wow. I'm like, what are you speaking, Lord? Just pray this one last prayer. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I choose to approach you with a Shema heart. Like Samuel, like Solomon, I say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So I just declare right now a new season for every person in here and every person listening to this podcast right now. It will be a season of the transition between servanthood to friendship in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that from this space of stewarding what you speak, people would come up into a place of ascension and into face-to-face encounters with you, just like Moses on the mountain in the name of Jesus. And everybody said one last time, amen. Bless you, so good, guys. Well, we're going to leave the pads on. You are welcome to stay here as long as you want. Whoever's locking up, there you go. And but we look forward to seeing you on Tuesday night. Don't forget to come to Darren. It is amazing. It's really, really worth it. Please do come along to that. Otherwise, we'll see the rest of you on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. How many people have been enjoying the governance series? How many people heard the homework that I gave you? The stewardship of the prophetic words. Please do look for prophetic words that have been quickened and allow God to teach you how to steward them to a new level for your homework. That we just have 2 weeks left. Next week we have Rachel again, and then the week after we have an amazing panel that are going to be ministering to you some of the wisdom that we've tracked over the years. So good. How many people are excited? Let's give the Lord a shout or a hand for everything he's doing. Come on. And let's pray for the cooling winds of the Holy Spirit this evening. In Jesus' name, and everybody said one last time, amen. Bless you guys. Have a good night.